Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us. We missed you guys. We're sorry we left you for so long, but a lot of postseason stuff going on in baseball. Then I had a vacation in the middle of that, but we're glad to be back on the air. And we hope that you had a chance to check out some of the back episodes while we were gone. But a lot going on in sports, certainly, right? It's been quite wild. But really, really bad times here in L.A. because the Dodgers were bounced from the playoffs early. And when we do our next MLB podcast, in the next week or so with Jerry and or Ari, I'm gonna have a lot to say about that Dodgers series, but the managing was a disgrace. Like Dave Roberts, just did a horrendous job managing Game 5 of that division series. Just a disaster, absolutely brutal. But more on that, we'll talk about that in, you know, a week or so from now. Thanks to all the people who sent guest picks over the last couple weeks. First, we thank Sharon for the guest picks in Week 6. He did a pretty good job. He went 2-1-1, and then we thank Robert in Virginia in Week 7, who did not do nearly as well, but he got a little job by some of the games. Like, he picked he had Texas plus 10. I'm sorry, he had Oklahoma minus 10 against Texas, and Texas really pulled a bad beat on them at the end of the game. And then I think there was another game where it just went south late for Robert, but 0-4 for Robert in the guest picks in Week 7. And I guess we gave that away a little bit, but that's what we have up to now. We should be joined tonight by John in Connecticut and Andy in Seattle on our program. Ron in New Jersey, unfortunately, is in the middle of a power outage. This is late-breaking news, so we are not likely to hear from him, but if he does happen to call in, I'll put him on and add him to the show. Tom in New Jersey is our guest picker tonight. We don't normally reveal that so early, but because he's only going to do half the picks, he will join us at 10:15. The other half of the picks will be furnished by my friend Stace, who's here in SoCal. And he has a couple of suggestions. It's kind of unofficial picks, though, because he doesn't really pick games against the spread. But his recommendations seem good enough to utilize for the guest picks this week. So I'll give you his picks for college also during the course of the program. So let's get right to it. Everything is gone pretty wild in the sport of football. There's a huge Gamecock upset on Saturday of Georgia at Georgia in Athens. And then up the coastline on Sunday, the Jets set up their own big upset of the Dallas Cowboys. So you wonder if there are going to be some letdowns coming up this week in college football. And some of the matchups show that could be the case. Let's hit it. Almost committed a false start. Football picks week 8. And we review our Week 7 selections. Another big week for Ron in New Jersey and Andy in Seattle. I mean, a big week. Ron went 3-1 last week after going 4-0 the week before. Andy in Seattle went 3-1 after going 2-1-1 the week before. Both of them doing very well in the contest and staying in the top up standings. In third place for Week 7, it was John in Connecticut going 1-3. And I, Dave in the City, not too good, and we went 1-3 as well. That was a mess, but we'll try to rebound from that as well. So, guest picks again, as we mentioned, Robert in Virginia went 0-4. He's much better. He's a much more savvy guy than that. He just got bad luck. I contend that is no reflection on his ability to pick games. So let's go to the standings after 7 weeks. Andy still sitting pretty at the top at 15-7-4. Ron is in second place at 15-10-1. Dave is in third place at 11-13-2. And John is in fourth or last place at 11-14-1. The guest picks normally pretty good through this part through this much of the season, but not this year. They are 11-14-1, so some catch up to do, but still only a couple games from 500. Everybody is, and Andy in particular is was well over 500 just in the early going. So we're about at the halfway point of the season, and as mentioned, we will stand by for Andy once he calls in, and Tommy as well. So let's get to it. Let's bring in our friend John in Connecticut. It's been a long time since we've done this show. John, welcome back. How's it going?
Good evening, Dave. Doing well. Do not like the fact that I've gone down to the basement with my selections, and it's crazy because, you know, I end up probably doing, you know, between 10 and 15 hypothetical wagers on a Saturday, but of course the two I give you just completely suck. But, you know, that's gambling for you. It's a small sample size, so we'll try to do a little better this week. But certainly good to be back. Lots to discuss, and happy to be on the show again.
Yeah, it's good to do the show again. It's been – I missed it. Like, I was like, oh, man, I really wanted to talk about that Tennessee game about a week or so ago where they were getting – where they were playing close against Georgia, and then they just ran – lost going away. And speaking of Georgia, yeah, that's a big star storyline. Georgia falling way out of the top 10 now after losing to South Carolina. There's a lot of that going on, just some crazy surprises in college football. So let's do the recap, and I'll give it to you first.
Yeah, I guess we'll start there since you teed it up. Yeah, Georgia, they just came out really sleepy and just obviously did not have a good game. From it was 28-51, just a very low completion percentage. And you know, Kirby Smart again with some questionable decision making in overtime and regulation in overtime. I mean, I know their kicker ended up missing a kick in overtime, but that guy, he has a big leg. He could have tried it from 57 yards or whatever it was at the end of the game. But you know, in all reality, going forward, yeah, you have to be concerned that Georgia lost for how they looked. But in terms of like a national picture, they're still very much where they would like to be. One loss in the SEC is not going to kill them. If they run the table the rest of the way, they beat Florida, and then they get in the SEC championship game against Alabama or LSU, if they win that game, they're right back into the college football playoffs. So I can see how, you know, that when I said they weren't taking South Carolina seriously, but maybe they weren't playing with the kind of intensity that they should have been, and maybe you'll see a much better effort from Georgia the rest of the year now, since it's really now it's do or die time for them. They can't lose again or else they'll definitely be out. But it's crazy, South Carolina, if they were to beat Florida somehow this week, they could almost, you know, then they'd be a game ahead on Georgia and a game ahead on Florida with the tiebreaker. They'd have to lose two more SEC games, and otherwise they're going to go to the SEC championship, which is crazy. So that's definitely a game to watch out for this weekend. In terms of the other games, Bama finally played a legit opponent and handled A&M. I mean, no one is stopping Tua and those receivers, Ruggs and Waddle and Judy. I mean, that offense is just unbelievable. Even their defense isn't as good as in previous years. I mean, who's stopping that game? And Dave, you remember the game of the century they were calling it, LSU and Alabama in 2011? It ended up being, what, like a 10-6 game?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Alabama-LSU is going to be 10-6 this year.
No.
first to 50, whatever the over is, I'm taking it. First to 50 might win that one.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams can throw the ball around. Who would have thought that, an Alabama-LSU game? And in questionable defenses, I mean, as you saw the other night with Florida and LSU, I mean, Florida had a great game plan. They tried to keep the ball away from Burrow, and they tried to run the ball, and they were pretty successful, but LSU, it was like 10 yards per play if you look at the stats, and their offense was just too efficient when they had it, and ends up, you know, some spots it was a push. I think it was 14 by game time. If you got an early line, they covered, but that's going to be a hell of a game next month, Alabama and LSU. You mentioned the Oklahoma-Texas game. Yeah, I was on Texas with the points, and I do feel lucky that I covered that spread. Oklahoma dominated in total yardage. If it wasn't for two really bad Jalen Hurts turnovers in the first half, Texas, they would have lost by, you know, 17 to 20 points. But, you know, they made those plays to get some stops, did just enough on offense, and then kind of got the backdoor cover, as you mentioned. But, you know, Texas, they're not going to be – they may end up making the Big 12 title game. depending on some of these other results, but I can't see them beating Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's got a clear path to the college football playoff. So they, you know, they win, and that's all they need to do. Wisconsin just destroys Michigan State 38-0. Nothing much to say there. Wisconsin's been very impressive, and they have a huge showdown with Ohio State coming up in a few weeks, so that'll be very interesting to watch. Your USC team, Dave, showed a lot of fight.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of wish they would have started better. I mean, only 3 points in the first half, but, you know, I guess you could say kind of window dressing the last touchdown at the end. I mean, Notre Dame was really never in danger of losing, but, you know, it was a good effort from SC anyway, I guess you can say that. But you certainly would like them to start a little better in the first half. Penn State wins on the road and against Iowa, pretty unimpressive, but that's just your typical kind of Big Ten Iowa type game. I mean, they made one mistake and it killed them. And Penn State and really probably should have won or covered, but you know, Penn State gets the win. And then let's see what else here. Washington State and Arizona State. That was a pretty exciting game. And who would have thought it? Herm Edwards and Arizona State, 5-1 and looking pretty good. And Utah Arizona State is like one of the games of the week this weekend. So that was pretty crazy. And let's see here. And the AAC, Temple upsets Memphis. That was a pretty fun game to watch early on in the day. As you know, the AAC is having a great year, and UCF is even down. You have SMU is undefeated. Tulane has a really good team. Cincinnati has a really good team. They're 5-1 in rank. I think I saw that 6 or 7 AAC teams are either ranked or receiving votes in the AP poll. So that I think I read the advanced stats guy from ESPN, Bill Connolly. He said if you take out UConn, the average ranking of the AAC is like by far better than the ACC, which I completely believe. I mean, the AAC is having a great year, so I'm kind of glad to see that. So it was an interesting weekend, certainly a lot of ranked versus ranked matchups. Not going to go into any of the lower action. You can, if you have any games you want to mention, Dave, go for it. But certainly a fun weekend to watch some football. Yeah.
Well, I do remember when we were watching the South Alabama at the Sportsbook a few weeks ago. They're on tonight on ESPN, and they were gifted a touchdown. But other than that, they haven't really been able to score much against Troy. So even though Troy's 1-4 ATS, they are actually, I guess you could say, comfortably ahead, but they're only up by 6. But I think
do you have any action on the game, Dave?
I have the under. So those turnovers were kind of irritating, but it did kind of balance out near the end.
Yeah, I surprisingly did not bet the Wednesday Sun Belt game. So I think I'm turning a corner as a gambler.
Well, there's a lot more. There's a lot of action on the next couple of days, though. Like, for example, Ohio State's going to play Northwestern. So that's going to be – I mean, that could be a trap. Because you mentioned that Wisconsin's coming up pretty soon. So maybe, but probably not likely. They've been really great, Ohio State. One more I'll mention. This is not a lower-level game, but Oregon just kicked the crap out of Colorado. The thing that has been talked about in recent weeks is their defense, and the defense completely shut that team down. I think Colorado scored, 3 points? Maybe 10? I don't think there was more than that.
No, it was 3. Yeah, it was 3.
Wow. I mean, that is an incredible job out of that Oregon defense at Autzen Stadium. I was watching a lot of that on what day was that? Friday, I think. And it was a really, really good performance. So all the props to Oregon. And it sets up a really good matchup, but Oregon versus UW coming up. So with that in mind, let's bring in Andy to the program. Andy, good to have you back. How's it going tonight? And we'll get your recap.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Good to be on. Just running a little late. I'm actually standing outside Husky Stadium now, just ready for game day. Oh, wait, game day's not here? Gosh, these Husky mouth breathers, every week game day doesn't come to Seattle. They're like, oh, ESPN got it wrong again. ESPN got it wrong. Hey, yeah, it's a nice stadium. It's a nice setting. They're not coming to Seattle to do your stupid game day against Oregon. Why? Because Washington screwed their own pooch against Cal and down at Stanford. They're not going to go to do a silly 4-2 versus 5-1. They're at Michigan and Penn State. Why? Because that game actually has national and playoff implications. Even though I still won't watch one snap of that game, I'm trying very hard to avoid Big Ten football per usual. And I will have to get into the Ohio State, Penn State game down the road. I don't get into Iowa. I don't get into Wisconsin. I watched Northwestern Stanford because that was, I think, like week one, and they, just had to watch that. Big Ten is not my jam, but week seven, I got to watch a decent amount. I was down in Houston, but John mentioned that Memphis Temple game. Memphis definitely got hosed at the end. I don't know if you watched it, but Memphis was driving the last drive of the game, basically, and on fourth down, their quarterback, I think his name's Pat White or something like that. I don't know. He's a clown, but he basically threw it up for grabs off his back foot, and the tight end I thought it was a catch, and it definitely didn't look like there was enough evidence to call it an incomplete pass, but they said that the ball hit the ground. I would have thought they called it a catch. The review didn't have any sort of sustainable evidence to overrule it. And if they had called it incomplete, I didn't think they would have any sort of, whatever the call was, that should have stood, because I didn't think there was any sort of guaranteed true evidence to go the other way. So, I had Temple. Memphis got screwed, but that was just my opinion. But I'm not a big Memphis fan this year anyway. You guys mentioned Alabama, Texas A&M. Texas A&M scored the first touchdown of the game, and Alabama just did what they did this year. Saban, in the last few years, has definitely evolved that offense now. 5 years ago, Alabama's routes, those were like 31-3, 21-3, 24-7. Now they score in the 40s. John mentioned the LSU. Their style has completely gone from Lou DeLang from an offensive standpoint, that Joe Burrow guy. He had a lot of hype, but I guess he's starting to justify that. That could be more of a Big 12 game than your standard 1-17 game that some of the SEC teams are accustomed to doing, or the traditional Alabama-LSU matchups. That LSU offense now, it's wide open up and down. However, they let that Florida offense look really good. That defense, you can score on that LSU defense. That is definitely a liability, I think, for the LSU team. They got to shore up that defense, in my opinion, because they let that Florida offense that was from hunger against Auburn look pretty dynamite for the majority of that game. I did not see any of the Georgia-South Carolina game. But you guys recapped it pretty well. As Gary Danielson mentioned, and as you guys mentioned, Georgia is not eliminated by any stretch of the imagination. They can still represent the East in the title game in the SEC, and they have destiny in their control if they still want it. Texas-Oklahoma, Texas, that guy on kickoff returns, they were plagued by horrible, horrible field position time and time again. And they just kept giving the ball to Oklahoma at like midfield, basically giving them a short field. And Hurts had a couple bonehead mistakes while they were flirting with scoring. And if you had Texas, you feel very fortunate to cover, because they had to score twice late in the fourth quarter in the backdoor, from a backdoor perspective. Freaking Brian Kelly in order to get, feels like they let up a little bit in the second half, and USC, they did what they had to do to look somewhat respectable. I'm just not a USC fan this year. Their backup quarterback got back in the fold. Enough of them. Enough of basically the Pac-12. Didn't watch any of Penn State, Iowa. I watched a lot of that U.S. The Arizona State. Coon Washington State game, that was very entertaining. I am all in on Herm Edwards this year. He's got some mojo. That quarterback is fun to watch. That offense is just fun to watch. It's fun to just kind of mock the Washington State team this year. They are just a little flawed, 0-3 in the Pac-12, and I don't think Colorado, even though they're favored by 12.5, I don't think it's a game. I don't think any game is a gimme from here on out for the Washington State Cougars. I watched a lot of that Texas Tech Baylor game. Baylor is a sneaky 6-0 team. They got Oklahoma State left on the docket coming up. However, I read Baylor lost their best defender. So that could come back to haunt them moving forward. Just a entertaining week of college pigskin. Tennessee got off the schneid. They still stink. I think that basically covers the gauntlet. Oh, and Charlie Strong covered somehow and won outright against BYU, scoring 13 unanswered in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, we're starting to move deeper into the season. Week 8 already,
yeah.
Kind of scary.
It's crazy.
We knew this. We knew the season was going to go fast.
Yeah, you're right. all right, so let's get to picks. Ron will go with written picks as he has no power at the moment. One important note, guys. I just found out as we were going to air that KJ Costello will not play the Stanford game against UCLA tomorrow. That's important information. So if you have that in your picks, bear in mind that the point spread is now 4 points and not 7. So with that ready to go, I'm going to give you Ron's picks. And let's do it. All right, so Ron has these for week number 8. Let's go. All right. Fading Rutgers has been a big theme this year, and he continues the theme amongst our panel with Minnesota minus 28.5 at Rutgers. Now, before I continue with the analysis of this matchup, I want to tell you, I took Indiana giving 27-28, and that was the most beautiful win ever. It was like 35 to nothing, and it was never, they had no chance. It was like,
sorry to interrupt you, Dave. Did you see the stats on the Rutgers quarterback? He was 5 of 12 for 1 yard.
I believe it. I was watching a lot of that game. They could not get a first down. I believe that, John. That's pretty pathetic. So, needless to say, Ron is continuing that magic. So he's going to go Minnesota, who really has struggled to cover a spread. I think that's something to keep in mind. But they've been winning. They're undefeated, too. 6-0. Just flying under the radar. So PJ Flex Group, minus 28.5 at Rutgers, game number one. Game number two, even though Michigan has played terribly, there's certainly reason to believe that their defense has been in the show. And Ron believes that Michigan will go plus 9 at Penn State in the big nighttime affair on ABC. So to repeat for Ron, Minnesota minus 28.5 and Michigan plus 9 for week 8. All right. So, Andy, brings us to you, and we're ready for your picks.
Thanks, Dave. We're going to take two road teams. The first one, we kind of hinted at it. We're going to take Arizona State getting 14 at Utah. I'm just riding the hot Herm. He plays to win the game. He plays to win the game. That quarterback, he's a freshman. I think his last name's Jaden Daniels, I think is his name. But he is a stud. He is a stud. He has a great arm, and he scrambles a little bit, but he does it mostly with his arm. And that Washington State game was a lot of fun. They needed a touchdown to win, and he just marched down the field. And I know Utah at home can be tough. They could have a smothering defense scenario. We got burnt by betting against Utah once already this year, BYU opening weekend. They had, at least one pick six. I think it was two pick sixes. So you do worry when you bet against Utah that their defense could come up with some plays, and that could be a little frustrating. But like I said, we're just riding the hot wave of the Arizona Sun Devils. Also, give me Arizona State getting 14. Game number one. And the other team I like is Tulane getting 4 at Memphis. We have hinted about Tulane on this podcast a couple times. They got a great defense. I think they'll be able to keep Memphis's running game in check. Their passing game isn't what it used to be. There's no Paxton Lynch. There's no Josh Fuente. This Mike Norwell guy is just kind of a clown, in my opinion. They're frustrating. They're a frustrating team because when you watch Memphis, you know, they're Jekyll and Hyde. You know, one series they go up and down the field in like 4 plays, and then the next series they take the wind out of their own sails. And they, you know, the deeper the game is, the more tight the coach seems to get from a play calling standpoint. And this is a, you know, the one thing you worry about when you take Tulane, their quarterback cannot hit, throw the ball in the ocean if he was on a ship. That's what you worry about. But their defense is pretty top notch, and they are a they can contend in that AAC, in my opinion. As John mentioned, that AAC is very competitive. A lot of very good teams. I think we're a little sick of Central Florida Memphis in the conference championship game. I'd like to see some new blood in the game. Maybe it's Tulane. So give me Tulane +4. And to coincide with Arizona State +14, week 8 in the college game.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Love the support for Willie Fritz there. Good stuff. Okay, so let's now go to John. And John, we're ready for your picks.
All right, Dave. We're going to start off here. Andy's outside Husky Stadium, so I might as well go with the Huskies. UW +3 at home against Oregon. I mean, they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. I mean, they looked so bad against Stanford 2 weeks ago, and I bet against them late Saturday night against Arizona, and they just completely blitzed Arizona. And now I'm thinking, oh my God, UW is a formidable team again. So if they burn me here, I'm going to be very upset, but I don't think they will. You mentioned the Oregon defense, Dave, and they're very much improved. They hired a new defensive coordinator this year, but I think this comes down to a big coaching mismatch, and we've seen it many times with Cristobal going up against a coach as, you know, better or more regarded than he is. He can't win these kind of games, and I can kind of see the same scenario here playing out, him going up against Chris Peterson. And, you know, Easton had a great game the other night. The running game was dominant. I mean, they just completely destroyed Arizona. Maybe I'm just reading too much into that game, but I think as a home dog, they're very much worth the play here, and I think they're going to upset Oregon in this game. So give me Washington +3 for the first pick. And then for game two, we're going to go back to my old theory here of the unranked team at home giving points to the ranked team, and we'll take Oklahoma State giving the 3.5 points to Baylor. It was 3 earlier in the week, so I hate that it went up to the half, but I still got to stick with it. Andy mentioned it earlier, Baylor's leading tackler and middle linebacker, like captain of the defense, is out for the season. They've been kind of winning a little bit with smoke and mirrors. I mean, their defense, Baylor's defense, rather, has been much better this year than the previous years. I do like their quarterback. I like Brewer. I think Matt Rhule's a great coach. He's really turned them around. But like, if you look at the game last week against Texas Tech, they somehow won despite being outgained by over 250 yards. It was like 500 to 250, and they somehow won the game. I'd have to dig into deeper to see if there's a lot of turnovers or special team scenarios, but that was just kind of a misleading win. Oklahoma State is coming off a bye. Gundy usually gets them up for these kind of games playing against a ranked foe. It's the games like after this, like when they play at West Virginia or at TCU, where they were stumbled, but he usually gets them ready for big games. They had a rough game against Texas Tech before the bye, where I think they were kind of overlooking them. He could have won the Texas game earlier in the year, so I think they're better, a little better than their record indicates, and I think Baylor might not be as good as the 6-0 start would indicate. So take all that into account. We'll go with my theory play. We'll take Oklahoma State -3.5, in addition to Washington +3. Week 8 for college football.
All right, thanks, John. So good luck, everybody, so far. Let's go give you the rest of the picks, and we'll start with my picks. Here they come. We're going to stay in the Pac-12 for these selections. And so John had the Washington game. Andy had Arizona State. I'm going to take that Arizona State game, too. I had it written down. We'll go Arizona State getting 14 at Utah. Going to go checker on a checker with our friend Andy in Seattle. So that's game number one. Game number two is earlier. I mentioned the Stanford game, and there's a reason for that, because I had it. I had him Stanford -7, but since the KJ Costello injury went down, and I haven't made it official yet on this program, we'll actually take him we'll take him giving 4 against UCLA, despite the fact that they don't have their primary quarterback. The fact is, how is UCLA going to score? I mean, They're terrible. I went and saw them in person against Oregon State. These guys are horrendous. They can't throw. They cannot score touchdowns regularly. They did a little bit in the second half, but in general, this is just not a good offense. So I don't care who the quarterback is. We're going to go Stanford giving the four. The series history is overwhelming. It's gone through many different quarterbacks, a couple different coaches on UCLA's side. They cannot beat Stanford. And I don't think that this shitty UCLA team is going to be the first team to do it. That would be outrageous. If you do anything, my friends, take the money line in the game if you can afford it. Because they're not losing that game. That is going to be a disaster for UCLA. But I don't know if they're necessarily going to cover the spread. But we'll take it anyway. Stanford minus four. To go along with Arizona State plus 14. Dave in the City, week 8 college football. Okay, so one more set of picks. And as I mentioned, these are co-picks this week. So the guest picks from my friend Stason here in SoCal, a non-board friend. And now the music will play. But anyway, let me just give you the picks while I get the music back. So he's going to coincide with the Stanford pick. He goes Stanford giving 4 against UCLA. I mean, at the time it was 7, but we'll just give it. We'll make it 4. And then the second game, he's going to go head to head with John. He's going to go Oregon minus 3 at Washington. So Stanford minus 4 and Oregon minus 3 for my friend Stace in SoCal. All right, and that's it for college. We can take a moment to talk about some of the games of the week. I mean, not a huge slate, as you can imagine. But a couple of interesting ones. Oregon Washington's the most interesting one to me. Arizona State Utah could be juicy. Florida South Carolina, those are two teams that could have a letdown after big performances. Now Florida was in the loss, but they still performed pretty well overall. So you might have a letdown in that game. Baylor Oklahoma State. I mean, a bunch of interesting ones. So if you guys have any thoughts on these, I'll give them to you now. Let's start with John in Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned two of the bigger games with my picks. I mean, not too much to say about that Big Ten game at night. I agree with Ron. I think the spread's a little bit too high. I think Penn State's a little overrated. Even if Michigan is a little overrated too, I don't know. That just feels like a game like 20-17. You know, someone's going to win that one. I would agree with that pick of Michigan getting the points. I also agree with you guys about Herm Edwards getting all those points at Utah. I gotta say it again. Who would have thought? Like Herm Edwards is like a consistent, steady team that you can wager on. I would have never thought this 2 years ago, but yeah, he's really managing the program. And Jaden Daniels has been getting better every single week, and it's been impressive to watch. So who knows? Maybe they'll be if they win this game, they'll be in line to represent the South in the Pac-12. Title game. Obviously, still half the season to go, but they'll be well on their way if they were to somehow get this road upset. But that's pretty much all that all the big games out there. Another AAC game that'll be interesting to watch: Temple SMU. That'll be a good one. Temple coming off that big win against Memphis, and SMU still undefeated, coming off a bye. So you have three really good AAC games this weekend. You have I just said Temple SMU. You have the Tulane Memphis game that Andy mentioned, and there's a game earlier in the day. Maybe there wasn't. I might be thinking of something else. That was it. It's certainly not Houston UConn, that's for sure. So some interesting games this week. Certainly not a marquee slate as opposed to last Saturday when we had a lot of ranked versus ranked matchups. But, you know, the degenerate gamblers, we'll bet on anything. So it should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, it should be good. Looking forward to the Pac-12 action, certainly, even though the conference itself is a shit show. There's no doubt about it. So let's go to Andy, and let's get your thoughts on this week's action.
Yeah, it's there's a lot out there. I'm just looking at the scores from last week. I didn't watch a snap of it, but it was like he couldn't look away on the ticker by that Wake Forest Louisville game, 62-59 or whatever. Louisville is pesky this year. I know that when they play week one on the TV, on the Labor Day game.
Notre Dame?
Forget who it was. Notre Dame. That's right, Notre Dame. And, like, Fowler and Herbstreit were like, I think they can get to six. I think they can get to six. So, yeah, they're pesky. And it's just like the stink of Petrino is starting to leave the campus. And so we'll see how they do. But, yeah, Wake Forest is some people had them as a sleeper last week. And, well, they stubbed their toe a little bit in a basketball score, basically. And then, the AAC matchups are all going to be pretty entertaining. That's like you guys mentioned, that's a college pigskins, like purist type of league. And we're into it. We're definitely into that. I just cannot get into the prime time, a Big Ten game. It's just a matter of principle. You mentioned the schools that could be on upset alert. You know, it's a good point about Florida because they did exert so much energy against LSU last week in a high octane environment. And now South Carolina, they've done nothing but read about themselves this week too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. But that, you know, Uga Booga, Will Muschamp, he did coach Florida as well. So, I mean, he got these like weird, like secondary storylines in that game. Could be interesting. I'll be into the games as we always are, and you know, I'll make a bet. I'll have to pinch my nose and bet UW when the time comes this Saturday. Cause I think John makes all sorts of good points that Cristobal coach, he has a tendency to just kind of, you know, brown out, black out. It's just like, hey, you do remember you're coaching the game, right? Like you got Herbert as quarterback, like, do something good. And I know the defense is a high point this year, but I don't know. Peterson, home crowd, UW, good quarterback, getting points. I'm going to have to, you know, agree with John and take UW in that game. And then in Appalachian State, a lot of people have them kind of being a pesky team, and they could maybe be that one team in the, you know, the non-power conference team that represents, you know, those five other conferences in the New Year's Six bowl game. As we discussed, anyone but Boise, and it's not going to be Central Florida's year this year. So I'm curious to see who it ends up being, because those teams are always kind of a live dog, because they usually are ending up playing like an SEC school that's not really motivated to be in it. You know, we saw it against LSU this year. You know, they end up winning by, I think, Central Florida covered, and then the year before that, Auburn lost outright. So, you know, those schools – always they're happy to be there, and then it's usually like the SEC team that's like not so motivated to be there. I got on a little bit of a tangent there, but you get the idea.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's there's definitely a lot of little scenarios going on in the backstory lens. That's a good call on Will Muschamp being the former Florida coach too. So I'm interested in that game. It'll be quite interesting to see which team, as we were talking about, will have the letdown, if either one, maybe neither will, but good stuff all around. So,
Dave, I'll give you one more. Yeah, I'll give you one more game. I just was scrolling through here. Mm-hmm. On NFL Network, 3:30, Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech from Conference USA. Southern Miss is 4-2. Louisiana Tech is 5-1. Could be a lot of points scored, so I will definitely be into that game.
Ooh. Taking the over in that one, John?
Yeah, it's 57 right now. I don't see how either team's going to score 30 in this one. So
right.
I'm definitely over with that.
Good stuff. You know, the game I love as far as overs, LSU at Mississippi State. I mean, if they still got guys suspended in Mississippi State, you're going to see so many points in that game. The over-under is 61.5 at the moment. That's an easy one for me. I think I'll take the over. So, okay, let's get to the NFL stuff. There we go. And to join us for the NFL part of the show, we welcome Tom in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show, Tom. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave, and I also heard John's voice. Hello, John.
What's up, Tom?
How's it going?
Andy,
how are you?
Andy, welcome. Andy, say hello to Tom.
up, Tommy? Sorry about the rain out. Sorry about the rain out.
It's okay. I've been watching Breaking Bad for the past hour, so not much else to do. I was watching a little bit of the Knicks preseason basketball, but I turned that off after about 10 minutes. There's only so much preseason basketball you can watch.
Not one dribble.
Taco Fall not doing it for you, Andy?
No, I mean, he's on the main lobster clause, I think.
Right on. Now, Tom, can I just ask you a quick question before we start?
Go ahead.
It seems like all of your Yankee friends think the series is over already, and then I come to find out that the series is only 2-1. Why is everybody giving up on the Yankees so fast?
I think the problem is that they had them in game two, and the Yankees blew it. And then yesterday, they had Cole on the ropes multiple times early on in the game, and they still couldn't cash in. I mean, that Didi flyout looked gone. They had multiple chances. In the first inning, I definitely would have bunted with Gardner and made it second and third with one out. But, of course, the Yankees don't bunt, and Gardner hasn't bunted the entire year, which is shocking considering it's Brett freaking Gardner. It was just bad. Ottavino is a joke. They shouldn't. If I see his face one more time this series, I'm going to explode. I'm sick of seeing him.
Oh boy.
I think Boone's done a pretty good job outside of the putting Ottavino in for Green in game. What game was that? Game two. I was screaming. Absolutely screaming when he did that. Chad Green was rolling and he put in Ottavino, but you guys don't want to hear this, so I'm just venting at this point. But I don't think the series is over, but they got to win the next two.
Yeah,
they can't just win. They can't go back down 3-2.
Right, and they absolutely have to win game four. I mean, Granky's looking pretty horrible. They have to win that game.
If they lose tomorrow, they're gonna lose in five. I don't think they'll get it back to Houston.
You know, I think I see your argument there. I do. Okay, so let's get back to the NFL.
Because it's gonna be Verlander in Game Five. So.
And then Cole after that. That's not gonna be fun. You're right. Good point. Okay, so let's go to the NFL, and we'll get to the recap. Well, it got very interesting, guys. So I'm gonna give it to John first for the NFL recap.
All right. Well, let's start with Monday night, and I'm sick and tired of these Lions fans. The refs gave the Packers a game. Well, how about you not kick five fucking field goals and score some touchdowns when you get in the red zone, and maybe you wouldn't put it in the ref's hands to make those calls? I mean, Aaron Rodgers said it perfectly. I mean, they even out over the years. I mean, did anyone think about last year when, you know, they called Clay Matthews on a roughing passer call, which was complete horseshit, that gave the Vikings, they ended up tying that game? Or about the Fail Mary from 2012 or 13, it was, against the Seahawks, the replacement ref. So I don't want to hear it. You know, the Lions, and that, let's not forget, in the first quarter, on the fourth and goal from the one-yard line, where you had one ref when Johnson got the carry, you had one ref walk in and mark that he was short, then another ref come in signaling touchdown, and they went with the ref that said touchdown. And clearly, you could see on the replay, he does not cross the goal line. So enough of the refs, okay? The Packers did what they had to do. Rodgers is just playing phenomenal this year. He's back to his old self. He clearly was not healthy last year, but he's making plays with, you know, Mercedes Lewis, and they're down to their fourth receiver. Alan Lazard came in and made some big plays, but you know, it was a great win for the Packers. They're 5-1, and they're going to be in the hunt all year, which I am very happy about. It's Matt LaFleur is such a breath of fresh air compared to Mike McCarthy. You can't even imagine how nice it is to see an actual coach like with changing his schemes from week to week on the sidelines. So very pleased with where the Packers are now, and hopefully they keep it going. As for some other results, the Jets over the Cowboys, that was the big upset of the week. And I did take the Jets +7. I didn't think they were going to win outright. I did think they were going to cover, but clearly Darnold, you know, is 100 times better than Luke Falk, and they kind of caught Dallas sleeping. And all of a sudden, you know, the Cowboys were the best team in the league after 3 weeks. But, you know, maybe it was because they played the Dolphins, Redskins, and Giants, and they picked some better teams. And,
you know, they're starting to leak a little oil. It's a huge game against Philly this Sunday. The Niners just completely dominating the Rams. I mean, the Rams look awful. They couldn't do anything on offense. I think Jared Goff had like 100 yards passing. Just a hideous performance by them. Their offensive line is just completely in shambles right now. They traded for a guy from Cleveland yesterday, or today rather, to try to solidify that, but has not been a good start to the year for the Rams. And the Niners could be for real, 5-0. I mean, their defense looks great. The running game is really working well, and Shanahan's coming up with some good plays. So, the Niners are going to be in the mix all year. And then the Texans and Chiefs, again, another team, the Chiefs, everyone was so high on the Chiefs at the start of the year, and they're starting to kind of slide a little bit. I don't know if defenses are finally catching up to Mahomes or playing a certain type of coverage, but, they've just been struggling. And really, it's their defense that just allows teams to go just up and down the field, controlling the clock. Their running game is so bad. Well, the run defense, rather, is just so bad, and teams are really exploiting that. The crazy Seahawks-Browns game. I think Andy will probably mention that one, so I'll leave that to him. And then the last one I'll mention is the London game. Jameis Winston reverts to his turnover-filled self with 6 turnovers. And the Panthers win again with Kyle Allen, and I think it's fair to have a discussion. I mean, do they really want to start Cam Newton again? I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to think about that at their bye week. I mean, I wouldn't, but yeah, I'm not coaching. I'm just talking on a stupid podcast, so... it was an interesting week of games, and certainly the juice is there on Sunday, that's for sure.
Yeah, with respect to the Chiefs, I do think that Mahomes might be gimpy, because he got hurt in the game against the Colts a couple weeks ago, and they couldn't pull off the win then, and then they lose again at home, which is really unusual to lose back-to-back games at home. That is really strange, but I think it just goes to show you how important his legs are to his ability to be a playmaker. And it doesn't seem like he's completely 100% with respect when it comes to his ability to move. So I wonder if he might be compromised in that regard. We'll give it to the rest, and you guys can share your thoughts. So now to Andy, let's get your recap of the NFL action.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that Chiefs team, and it's kind of affecting our mindset when it comes to the picks this week. But that was a local game. I was down in Houston visiting my dad. So, that sequence going into halftime, there's 20 seconds left or whatever it is, 30 seconds. You know, you're at your own 20-yard line, and Mahomes just basically, didn't see the defender coming. And just what a sequence, letting Texas score right before halftime. You know, they're up 17-3. You know, 17-3. Kansas City, if you're down 14 to Kansas City, it's like being down, 7 to a regular team. But they're just not the same right now. There's some exposure there. John mentioned Dallas. Bill Simmons, huge clown, asking Cousin Sal a couple weeks ago if the Cowboys will have the NFC East sealed, signed, and delivered by Thanksgiving. Like, can we let a season breathe? I mean, no, I'm not even joking. Like,
you moron.
No. Oh, whatever.
Yes, it was. I listened to it too. Sal's a huge Cowboy fan.
Oh, thanks for the enlightenment. But even the Giants can win the NFC East at this point, because it's just like whoever first to 9 is going to win that division. I think 9-7. That's right. That Eagle Cowboy game is going to be, just like the tallest midget. That's the NFC East this year. But back to the Seahawks Browns game. Since I was out of town, my dad doesn't have the ticket, but it's like via PlayStation 3 or my laptop or my phone. And we were watching the Chiefs Texans game on his TV, so the PlayStation 3 was out of the mix. And if you Google NFL Sunday Ticket Week 6, you'll get a bunch of articles alluding to basically a huge gym situation on the streaming situation. So I was not able to stream Seahawks Browns on my laptop or my phone. If you saw me just loading, like the little Ooga that's like touching the hot stove over and over again. Like, yeah, it didn't work 2 minutes ago. It's not going to work 2 minutes later. And I'm like, my dad's like, are you just keeping refresh, hitting refresh over and over again? I'm like, yeah, because I have a ton of money. I had 6 units on the Seahawks, and I needed to know what was going on. It was 4th and 1, and it was like timeout Browns. And I'm like, what is going on in the Seahawks game? And it had all to do with that 4th down play and the challenge, and then running the same play again with Chubb. And I still got to see a proper like highlights package of that. But eventually the streams were coming back one by one. But for whatever reason, Seahawks Browns came on last. Like if you wanted to see Ravens. The Ravens game, that came on quick. If you wanted to see the Saints-Jags, that came on. But for whatever reason, Seahawks-Browns was the last to come back online on the streaming service. And then once that Texans game ended, I logged onto the PlayStation 3, and lo and behold, you were able to get San Francisco, L.A., you were able to get Dallas Jets, and you were able to get was there one other game on? I forget at this point. But
well, the Dallas. You already said that. I'm sorry. The Arizona game, right?
Yeah, I think it might have. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Arizona versus
Atlanta.
The Atlanta Falcons. But yeah, the 1 o'clock games or the 10 a.m. West Coast games. Yeah, they're like Texans winning on the road. Kansas City showing signs of a little kinks in their armor. That Brown, the Seahawks, you know, they're not gonna cover some of these games when they're favored by like 4 to 7 points, because Pete Carroll's all about that fourth quarter apparently, and they are the dilly-dilly tight end. He's out for the year, unfortunately, but you know, Wilson is having just an incredible season so far. Knock on wood, injury. We have over 8.5, so he's got to stay fresh as a daisy and healthy. But they're pulling some of these games out of their, bum. They're taking advantage of, just stupid Freddie Kitchens in the Browns. And about the Rams, you guys mentioned the Rams. Like, be careful what you wish for. Like, oh, we got to find the next Sean McVay. It's a copycat league. Well, Sean McVay is, a little bit of his shining armor is getting, a little tarnished. He's not the genius that he was last year for whatever reason. And, yeah, you want to find a bunch of Sean McVays and you end up with Freddie Kitchens. That's what happens when you take the copycat league a little too serious. And but it was an entertaining week. Patriots-Giants started it off on a Thursday night game. It wasn't that entertaining, really. But Brown-Seahawks was entertaining in hindsight. And as John mentioned, that Lions-Green Bay game, yeah, what goes around does come around. No one even remembers that touchdown that on 4th down, like John mentioned. Like, the Green Bay got hosed there, and, your own worst enemy from a Lions standpoint, when you go bunk in the red zone, you have to settle for these field goals. So, really good teams are able to overcome what might be, perceived slights against them by the referees. You overcome it. They didn't overcome it. And you let a healthy Aaron Rodgers do what Aaron Rodgers can do. He's throwing to basically, the sisters of the poor out there, and he's able to get stuff done. Don't let your foot off the pedal against the Raiders, because the Raiders are kind of pesky as well. So it'll be an interesting week, and looking forward to this week as well.
Yeah, this week's action looks pretty good. We'll get into that in a little bit later. But first, back to Tommy, and let's get your recap of the NFL.
Not much left to say. I was in the building for the Jets game, unfortunately. Well, it was a good game. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but whatever. It was a good game.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting game with there being about 75% Cowboy fans, and Cowboy fans were everywhere.
I'm not surprised.
So a fight in the bathroom between a Jets fan and a Cowboy fan. I don't know why you're fighting in the bathroom when you're about to take a piss, but two guys are fighting. And as I'm leaving the bathroom, a state trooper like pushes me to the side and was like, get out of the way. so they could get break up the fight, and there's a bunch of idiots there like chanting like woo 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 with the state trooper coming in. It was just great. But other than that, I knew the Jets had a good shot at winning with the horse collar tackle on Sam Darnold on the first drive when I think it was third and goal. So that gave them a first down, and then they were able to score a touchdown. They held on late. I mean, the great two-point conversion try. I like the Jets burning the house on Mr. Prescott. So I like that defense that Greg Williams designed. But the Jets held on. I was able to watch some of the 1 o'clock games on my phone as I was in the building for the Jets game, which is at 4:30. And I didn't get home from the Jet game until about, what time was it? With the parking lot in there. Parking lot at Jet Stadium's a nightmare. Anytime you're trying to leave MetLife or any of these football stadiums, it's an absolute nightmare. So I think I got home about 10. So I didn't watch that much of the Sunday night game. But I noticed that Kirk Cousins is an NFL quarterback again. That was interesting to see. But I guess against the vaunted Eagles defense, any quarterback will look good. But as Andy said, it's going to be interesting to see who we if anyone picks that Eagles-Dallas game on Sunday, as it's a flip of a coin type of game. I wouldn't bet on that game if my life depended on it. I have no idea who's going to win that game. I have no feel for that game whatsoever. But we'll get into that later. Let me see if I have anything else to say. Not really. You guys pretty much covered it.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Dallas coming off of 3 straight losses. I mean, John mentioned that earlier, but that's pretty rough. And, to me, the one thing that really stands out is that Prescott, more and more, you're seeing that the guy is just not a good passer. Like, he cannot throw the ball past, like, 10 yards. Like, anytime you challenge him to throw the ball deep, he will never have the accuracy you need to manage a fourth quarter drive. A good example of this was when they were in New Orleans and they were trying to engineer. They had like 3.5 minutes to score a field goal, and they couldn't do it because the dude cannot throw past like 7 yards. And if you try to get him to roll out, I mean, he's a little better. But the fact is, no matter what you do, the guy cannot throw the ball deep and get it accurate to anybody. Guys are wide open. He can't get it to him. Like, he's just not that good a pure passer. It's just as simple as that. I just think you have to get some trickery. You have to get guys in position. You have to run some routes that'll kind of work, crossing out, something like that. But if you ask him to just make a throw to someone like 50 yards downfield, it just never comes off the arm right. Maybe he's hurt. I doubt it. I just think this is who he is. So with that in mind, let's go to the picks. And let's go to it. We'll go with Ron first. And away we go. Here we go. Ron goes with these picks for NFL week number 7. He'll start with the Rams, giving 3 at the Falcons. And then for game number 2, he's going to go with a Thursday game. He will take the Chiefs, giving 3 at the Broncos. That's a very interesting matchup. You know, that Bronco defense is good at home, so I'm wondering where everybody else is on that game. So one more time for Ron. Rams minus 3 to go along with Chiefs minus 3 as well for the NFL, week number 7. Okay, so now back to Andy in Seattle, and we are ready for your picks.
Oh, thanks. I love that Ron pick, the Rams. I mean, I know we just were talking about their struggles, but if there's any team that could bring life to the dead, it's that Atlanta Falcons defense. Gosh, they are freaking dumpster fire. But game number 1, I'm actually going to go head-to-head with Ron, even though we were just giving him props for that first pick. I'm actually going to take Denver getting the 3 at home against KC. I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I always feel like the KC-Denver matchups are always close, always weird, and Denver always seems to, like you said, play them really tight in Mile High, or whatever it's called now. And, you know, like on paper, or if you were to handicap this game in early September, you'd be like, Kansas City's only given 3. Sign me up. One of those, it looks too good to be true. And yeah, if you saw Denver early in the year, you know, it's Joe Flacco. It's an offense from hunger. You know, they looked brain dead against Green Bay for a half. They couldn't, you know, they lost to Oakland opening, you know, that the wonky Monday night game, you know, that the late game week one in Oakland, you know, they're riding high. You know, you're going to get the best effort after the Antonio Brown follow. But, you know, past 2-3 weeks, Denver has looked formidable. That defense is hard to score on, and you're at home. You know, I'm not a I couldn't pick out Vic Fangio from Adam, but, you know, he looks like he's kind of like an old Stoogey dude, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like they're going to – you got a gimpy Mahomes, you know, no Watkins, a defense that is vulnerable. I think Denver is going to hold Kansas City to some red zone field goals. And I think it's going to be a close game. So give me Denver getting three for game number one. And then game number two, I'm going to take the Colts giving one, hosting the Texans. I think the Texans, I'm not a Bill O'Brien guy. I'm not a Texans guy. Watson's talented. J.J. Watt's overrated. But I think after the exhilarating win at Kansas City, they have to go back on the road again. A division game. You know, Indy should be fresh. Indy's off coming off a bye. It's a big game for them. And I just feel like it's just Texans coming off the emotional win. I'm going to take the team that's a little more rested off the bye, a team that could run the ball really well, Marlon Mack. Hilton, I think, is coming back. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And you know, Vinatieri, hopefully it doesn't come down to him. I think he's kind of straightened out his early season disaster. But give me Indianapolis minus one versus Texans to match up with the Thursday night game, Denver getting three at home against the Chiefs, Week 7 NFL.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Let's now bring it to John in Connecticut. And, John, we're ready for your NFL picks.
All right, Dave, before I start, Tommy, have you hit any big parlays again lately since your last win?
No. I'm extremely, extremely cold. And believe it or not, I'm going against Andy this week. And I actually told Diane, I asked my wife if she can cover the mortgage, as I am very high on Kansas City this week.
Oh, so, boy.
Interesting.
And now knowing that I'm going against Andy, I'm betting the mortgage.
All right. Well, I think I'll watch that game neutral tomorrow night then, because I don't want to pick sides. But all right. So we'll get to my picks. So game one, we're going to start off with the classy Giants at home, giving 3 points to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, today you heard some huge positive injury news for the Giants. Saquon Barkley is going to play in this game, and Evan Ingram is going to play in this game. This Cardinals defense is hideous. They are going to have no answers for Barkley or Ingram. We've seen Daniel Jones as a huge upgrade over Eli Manning. And, you know, while he really couldn't take advantage of playing the Patriots defense, because they're a very legitimate defense, or the week before when they played against the Vikings, who have a good defense, we saw what he can do against a bad defense when he played the Bucs in his first start. And I can kind of see a similar thing here. The Cardinals traveling east for a 1 o'clock start, coming off a win. I am not trusting Cliff Kingsbury in any scenario like this. Give him credit for they've gotten 2 wins in a row, but it was over the corpse of the Bengals and the corpse that is the Atlanta Falcons with the aforementioned, maybe even worse defense than the Cardinals. I just don't like them in this spot whatsoever. I think the Giants are going to win this game, and having those two guys back on the field is huge. So give me Giants -3 for game number one. And then for game two, again, my picks are all in Seattle this week. I had the college game, and we'll go here for the pro game. But this time, I will not go with the Seattle team. I'm going to take the Ravens, and I believe the line is, I'm seeing 3 right now, so I guess we'll go with that. It was 3.5 earlier, but I will be honest here. We'll go Baltimore +3. Yeah, Seattle has been kind of getting behind in a lot of these games early on, and eventually it's going to bite them. They had a comeback last week against the Browns. They had a comeback against the Rams the prior week. They had a comeback against the Bengals week one. Like Andy said, it's going to burn them eventually. Russell is just kind of pulling these games out of the fire. And really almost like a one-man band kind of scenario at this point. You know, not to, you know, they're an okay team. I just think their record easily could be 3-3 rather than 5-1. And I, you know, I think the Ravens, it's quite the flip for both of these teams. Usually you would think Ravens and Seahawks, two really good defenses and kind of subpar offenses, but these are two of the better offenses in the league, statistically anyway. So I think there'll be a lot of points scored. I think over could be a good bet here too, but I just think this is going to be a really close game. I do really wish this was 3.5 because you could see Seattle winning by 3, but I had it marked, so I'll take the Ravens with a 3 and just a close, high-scoring game, possibly even getting the outright win here if they can get ahead and you know, and if Wilson doesn't work his magic. But it could be just like the Rams game when they came back and just won by a point. So this will just be really, this will just be really close, I think. So give me the Ravens plus 3. In addition to the Giants minus 3 for Week 7 NFL.
All right, I like it. Very good, very good, John. Thanks for the picks. That was an irritating game a couple weeks ago when the Seahawks won by a point. But onward we go. Let's go to my picks. And let's see, what do we get? Let's go with this. So I have the Broncos-Chiefs game in there, or the Chiefs-Broncos game, but I'm just going to pivot out of that. That's just... There's too much on the line here for Tommy and Andy.
Wait,
I can't.
What did you have?
Do you want me to tell you what I had?
All right. Yeah, so I could shoot myself.
Well, I had the Broncos in that game.
Oh, boy.
So...
Oh, Jesus.
But that's not going to be an official pick. We're going to go with this for the official pick. Dolphins getting 17 at the Bills. And this is kind of a ridiculous play, but... The thing of it is, I think that the Dolphins are due to cover a spread. I think they did cover a spread against Washington last week, right? Yeah, they did. So there's a little momentum there. For me, it's just as simple as I can't fathom how the Bills are going to come up with that many points. But the Dolphins' defense is really bad. Like, if you look at their defensive metrics, they're, like, at the bottom. Like, they are horrible defensively. So this could be in vain, but we're going to take it anyway just because... There's got to be some point where the Dolphins can cover a 17-point spread against a good against a better team. And the Bills are not that good. I mean, look, I think they finally lost recently. So Dolphins plus 17, game number one. Game number two, I hate the pick, but I love the team. 49ers giving 10 at the Redskins. And the only thing I don't like about it is the 10 points. Like, it's just too many points. But how are the Redskins going to come up with 20 points? Because that's what you got to do if you're going to beat... San Francisco. You got to come up with 20 or more points. I can't see this team coming up with 20 points. So, unless the 49ers just give them a possession in the red zone, they're going to win the game by a lot. So, we're going to go with 49ers minus 10 to go along with Dolphins plus 17. Week number 7 in the NFL. All right. Tom, there it is. Those are the picks. We're ready for your guest picks when you are.
Dave, you picking the Dolphins is like me picking New Mexico weeks ago against Notre Dame. It's just not going to end well. It's not going to end well.
No, you're right.
You're going to know early on that money's done.
Yeah.
But, me picking, I'm picking the Chiefs, obviously, against the Broncos. Chiefs have won 7 straight against Denver, so I don't really know what Andy's talking about, how all their games are close. But that's besides the point. I like the fact that both Dave and Andy both like the Broncos in that game. So I'm gonna bet even more money on the Chiefs now. So I might be homeless by Friday morning. So if you get a call from someone in New Jersey, you know who it is.
Oh boy.
And my second game. Let me see. I'm gonna go checker on checker with Ron in both games. I'm gonna go Rams minus 3 against the Falcons. So I'm taking 2 road favorites, which is a cardinal sin in the NFL, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So those are my 2 picks.
All right, thank you very much, Tom. Good stuff, everybody. Good luck to the picks. Let's do some potpourri. We can talk about the rest of this week's action in the NFL. Get into baseball, whatever you had on your mind. I know that there's some fall league golf too, so that's underway as we speak, actually, as we record the program. So we'll go to John, and we'll give it to you first for some potpourri. Anything you had on your mind?
The PGA Tour season, it hasn't been great to this point. It did, the fall series started in middle September. It's been pretty uneventful so far. A lot of no-name winners. But the Asian swing starts this week in South Korea. It's actually, the coverage just came on Golf Channel like an hour ago. It'll be on until 2 o'clock tonight. I'm staying up for that tonight. But definitely we'll watch the third and fourth rounds on Friday and Saturday night. So a good field in South Korea, and the course is just gorgeous. It's in some island, Jeju Island. So it's a beautiful course, and it's a good field. So I would recommend it if you have insomnia or you're watching late-night college football and you're like, all right, let's play a little golf here to kind of break up the monotony of that. But, yeah, so that should be fun. And then they have a skins game coming on this Sunday. It's McIlroy, Woods, Jason Day, and Matsuyama. So that should be fun to watch late Sunday night as they continue their swing through Asia. So that's a little golf talk. Don't really have anything to say with baseball. I've been following it, but really haven't bet anything. I'll definitely get in the mix with the World Series. And then as for the other NFL games the weekend, we kind of went over a lot of them. Saints-Bears is interesting. We'll see if, you know, what the Bears can do coming off that horrible loss in London. And they have a bye week. We'll see if Trubisky plays. I mean, him or Chase Daniel, they're essentially the same kind of player. Their team is really based upon their defense. You guys mentioned the Eagles-Cowboys game. I agree. That's just a complete coin flip. I have no idea. Gun to my head, I'd probably go with the Eagles just because they're getting the points. But, you know, I could see Dallas winning by three in that game. Yeah, the Packers have an interesting game against the Raiders. Raiders, again, off a bye. So you figure they're going to be well-rested and healthy, and the Packers coming off a short week and kind of an emotional win, so hopefully there's not a letdown there. I'd be, you know, spread's like six. I would actually probably take the Raiders with that. I think that's a little too much for the scenario. And then Monday night, Jets-Patriots. We'll see if Sam Darnold can work some more magic. I'm actually kind of surprised that this line is 10. I mean, you know, going back to the Jets again is like playing Russian roulette, getting points at home, but I don't know. I feel like this is just a little too many. Even... You know, I think any Patriots fan would admit that the Jets usually play the Patriots pretty well in New York. I just feel like that's too many points. That would probably be my third pick of the week if I had three picks here. So I would lead in the home dog there. So, yeah, it's an interesting schedule of games. And, I mean, you know, the NFL is very competitive. Like, almost all these spreads are under a touchdown. So it should be another fun Sunday afternoon.
Really quick before I go to Andy, who would you take in the Minnesota-Detroit game? That's a good game.
Oh, man. Yeah, before Monday night, I would have said Detroit. But just, I think they could be just so deflated after that game. You know, Cousins is not going to play like that again. I mean, that was just the Eagles' defense. Tom is right. Their secondary is just horrible. And, of course, in FanDuel, I played the wrong Minnesota receiver. I took Thielen instead of Diggs. But, alas, it is what it is. But I guess I would kind of say Minnesota now after that game on Monday.
Yeah, I think I would. I think gun to my head, I'd take Minnesota too, but it could be pretty close. So that'll be interesting to watch. All right, Andy, let's get your thoughts, potpourri, whatever you got.
All right. Well, first of all, let me just read you the scores real quick. Kansas City 27, Denver 23. Close game at Mile High.
There we go.
Kansas City 27, Denver 24, Mile High 2017. Kansas City 30, Denver 27 in overtime. So they are close games. There are close games, and the series is 9-9 in the decade. So whatever, we'll see what happens. It will be a fun game tomorrow. As for that Sunday night game, the tallest midget, Eagles and Cowboys, I'm definitely gonna have to play it because it's the last show in town after a day of gambling, and I know I'm just going to end up taking when it's Mongo versus Mongo, it's like all-star game. I always take the team that's getting the point. So I'll probably take the Eagles, and they'll probably be yelling at the TV like when was it week three when the Eagles played Atlanta and Atlanta won that game. Yeah, there's the Eagles, something's just off with the Eagles this year, but the Cowboys have also gone progressively worse in each loss. You know, the New Orleans game was close. And then the Green Bay game, they were just buried in that first half and window dressing in the fourth quarter. And then, yeah, letting Darnold look like a Greek god against in the Jet game. So, you know, something's off with both those teams. I'll have to play it though. And then, yeah, that Seahawks-Raven game, I agree with John, but I did see 3.5 too earlier this week. So I close my eyes. I see just Jackson just having a field day against that Seahawk defense, just running free, creating plays with his legs. If I recall, I think Watson and Wilson had an amazing duel last year, Texans-Seahawks, and Seahawks won by 3, but Watson, I think both of them threw for like close to 400 yards each, and you might see one of those, you know, duels, you know, last team with the ball wins this game. You know, defense is not going to be a supporting actor in this movie. I think it's just going to be, you know, quarterback versus quarterback. And the Monday night game, if I was not a Patriot Mongo, I would probably take the Jets as well. You know, getting all those points, Brady over the hill. No, but besides the fact the Jets always do play the Patriots tough in New York, regardless of who's actually on the roster. It's usually just an ugly close game. The Bear. That Bears game, Bears-Saints, I think, going up head-to-head with the Seahawks-Ravens game, that'll also be entertaining. We have a lot of, I think, you know, besides the Bills-Dolphins line and the 49ers-Redskins line, all the other lines are pretty close. So how'd Troy go up 16? What the heck happened? But shit. I think I'm South Alabama getting 17. So, was it a pick six? Oh, it was a pick six. Oh, Mike, he threw it right at the South Alabama. Oh, jeez. South Alabama guy just threw the. He basically thought Troy was the receiver. Oops. All right, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. What's your over-under here, Dave?
The over-under, I think, was 57. Or is it 47?
Okay.
I better double check.
It's 40. Well, it's 43 now.
Yeah. That next quarterback, Stephen Jackson from South Alabama, he is just horrendous. But the only way that the overhead is if there's like pick sixes, which just happened, Dave. So I'm hoping that both of you can get this cover here.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for a push at this point.
Yeah. It looks. Yeah, that's kind of crazy because, you know, I mentioned at the top of the show, like, Troy is, like, 1-4 against the spread this year. And that would be kind of nuts if they somehow covered this somehow. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But, yeah, I guess the under is okay, but you never know. There's still a whole quarter left, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Was that it for the potpourri stuff?
Yeah, I'm into Juju Island as well. The golf.
Oh, right on.
Huge game tomorrow in the baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Yankees can do this. I'm rooting for them from a money standpoint. Because if you win plus 155, and if they lose, then it's, you know, it's fun to be a troll on the Twitter as a Red Sox fan.
I have been enjoying
Sorry,
some
Tommy.
Of that. Too good. It's fun. I've seen your tweets alongside Cap's tweets, and it just makes me laugh so hard. It's fun to read that.
Cap, I love Captain, but he, like, all summer long, he's like, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this team. Can't be negative. Negative Yankee Twitters. And then, well, when the game starts, what happens?
I don't know who's more hypocritical, Cap or LeBron James. It's up in the air.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. So the Yankees are an underdog at home. That's kind of interesting that they would be so against Greinke. I mean, it doesn't surprise me when it's like Cole Verlander.
I don't know what the line is for tomorrow, Dave. I'm just speaking from the series as a whole. Going into the series, if you bet Yankees to win in the ALCS, it was plus 155. I don't know what the line is for tomorrow. I suspect
it's
Tanaka
definitely
versus Greinke. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Definitely Yankees are favorite because Tanaka's pitching, so.
Mm. All right.
That's a must watch tomorrow. Not to sound like doggy, but that
if you like
that's
four,
must watch.
If you like 4.5 hour games, yeah.
Yeah, no, but it'll still be a fun game. Before all the pitching changes come in, it'll be a fun game. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, great sports night tomorrow with the Juju Island, the college football sprinkled in.
Chiefs Broncos baseball playoffs.
I mean, that's going to be good.
And then yeah, some garbage NHL too. I mean,
I'm in for garbage NHL.
Yeah,
good stuff. All right, so Tommy, let's get your potpourri stuff.
I guess you guys didn't cover the LeBron James stuff, but I just think he's such a hypocrite.
Yeah.
He comes across as someone who loves talking about the issues and whatnot, but then when it comes into money and his financial affairs with China, he's like, no, we can't talk about China. And then he calls out Morey. It's just very tough to take. And now he refuses to talk about the issue again. I'm sure in L.A. everybody's going crazy about it. I can only imagine what they're saying in L.A., Dave. But in here, it's he's so two-faced. It's just unbelievable. This is the first crisis situation for Adam Silver. I mean, he's had such a cushy job as commissioner so far, and this is his first real firestorm he has to control, and the entire NBA is in chaos because most people, they had no clue about the issue, me included, and now they're asking everybody to have an opinion on it. And then you got LeBron James saying, being two-faced about it, saying he loves talking about issues, and then when it comes to this, he doesn't want to deal with the First Amendment rights. So
yeah.
it's just crazy. But I come across as an old man saying this, but these Major League Baseball games are so freaking long. I mean, it's like 4.5 hours, 5-hour games, and some of those Twins-Yankee games were unwatchable.
Yeah.
Especially the first one. I think it was a 5-hour game. And I can only imagine how bad the ratings are. It's such a regional sport now. Unless you're a fan of those teams or a diehard like Andy and John, it's like almost unwatchable to watch some of these games. It's just tough to take. And I didn't talk to you, Dave, about the Dodgers, but my God, I'm surprised you're talking.
I know what you mean.
That was
so rough.
Yeah, that was one of the worst losses and collapses I've ever seen. I mean, Kershaw, geez. I felt bad for the guy.
I felt bad for him.
I'm not a Dodger fan whatsoever. I'm not a Dodger fan whatsoever, but I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And he took all the questions after the game, and he just looked miserable, and I felt bad for him.
He did not need to be in the game. Like, it was already so deep into the game. What was the point of that? It was such a just horrible
managing. Robert's totally screwed that up.
Oh, my God. I don't think you're going to come find a worse manager in the postseason than Dave Roberts year after year. If you go across, like, the last 4 years of postseason, nobody's managed worse than him. He's been so bad with all these decisions. Leaving Joe Kelly in for two innings, not one, two innings. The first inning was a disgrace. I was said I was going to save it for next week, but seriously, it was so awful, Tom.
Back, both of those home runs weren't cheap either, but those were both moonshots.
Yeah.
Those were bombs.
They're absolute bombs.
Yeah.
So it was just crazy watching that. That was a lot of interesting.
Dave, so I had the Dodgers in that game. But I live bet the Nationals after the eighth inning because I'm like, the balloon was so deflated.
Yeah,
Kershaw turned into a meme, and it's baseball such a weird sport. We all saw the Milwaukee game. You know, Milwaukee had that game in the bag last week, and then a weird bounce hater. You know, to the chagrin of the beat boops, hater's human, and next thing you know, the Nationals have all this karma and mojo. And, you know, Doggy mentioned, like, no one's won the NL pennant 3 years in a row since, like, 1920-something. That's almost 100 years ago. So that's hard.
Yeah, it's true. It is really hard.
And then you got the Bryce Harper effect and with it, too, and him leaving. And then, of course, once he leaves, the Nationals get to the World Series, and it's just crazy how sports is. It's kind of like UVA losing in the first round, and then the next year they win the whole thing. It's just crazy how sports work.
Yeah, no doubt. And they just absolutely destroyed the Cardinals. I was not ready for that at all. They never had a chance. They're completely shut down.
I know. Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning, and then they'll score again in the following series. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that's baseball, Susan. I tell you. But that's a tribute to the Nationals.
Don't get me started on Sterling.
He must have been absolutely brutal yesterday.
Get this. I was late coming home. When was it? The other day. And I was listening to the game on the radio. And my phone was dead. And my car charger wasn't working. So I couldn't get the score of the game. So I was listening to John and Susan. I literally had to wait 10 minutes before that moron told me the score of the game. I was screaming. It was next to impossible to get a score from the guy. I mean, he's great with the theatrics and everything, but John, not everybody's watching the entire listening to the entire game with you. People are in and out. It's radio. The score is not on the radio. We need to know the score. It was just mind-boggling.
Man, that's rough. That's rough. I could only imagine what his call was of the Didi Gregorius pop fly. Well, fly ball that was like right up against the fence.
Oh my God! He was probably he probably shit his pants, and he's like, "Oh, caught at the warning track."
Oh man, that's crazy. So, yeah, we'll see about tomorrow. It'll be an interesting game. I'll just give it to John then. I think for final thoughts, John. Any final thoughts before you sign off for the evening?
No, I think we covered a lot. Good to hear from Tommy. Good luck with your mortgage payment if the Chiefs end up losing tomorrow night. I don't think your wife will be too happy about that, but I guess, you know, we'll see how that works. But yeah, it should be a fun weekend, and I'll definitely be into the baseball scenarios tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, Andy, final thoughts?
I already did them.
Yeah, you did. You did. So I guess that's pretty much it. Tom, great to have you back again. Hopefully everything's going all right with you and Diane and everybody else. So all the best. And we'll do a random questions too sometime, yeah?
Oh, anytime, Dave. Have me on the next few weeks.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, here's to a good weekend, guys. Thanks again. Have a good evening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, good luck, everyone.
All right, fellas. Take care. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everybody. Andy in Seattle, John in Connecticut, Tom in New Jersey tonight, and we give a shout out to Ron in New Jersey, who hopefully has got his power back by now. Good times, good show. Let's sign you off, everybody. Thanks for coming back and listening to us once again. We should be back next week with more podcast content, and as far as I know, we should have an NBA season preview with Chris in Georgia. That's coming on Monday night. As the Jets and the Patriots game goes underway. But for us, we say goodnight. I'm Dave Medina on the web at didcow.com, Twitter at didcow. We'll see you next time.